Today we have the grace of celebrating the feast of another martyr. All this week, it seems that we've just been dealing with these gifts that the martyrs bring before us. And what should we take from this particular martyr today? We're celebrating two martyrs. Those would be the martyrs of Saints Tiberitus and Susanna, this virgin martyr and this archdeacon. In this time, these two martyrs, you would think that just because they're connected, we celebrate them on the same day for a feast day, that they must have died together, right? That they must have been intimates in some way. That's not the case for these two martyrs. In fact, they are separated within their martyrdom by 40 years. Tiberitus was martyred in the year 286, and Susanna, not so much later. They were separated in such a great time in this, yet they confessed in the same faith together. Saint Tiberitus, he himself was an archdeacon. He was converted and baptized as a pagan, and then went to live a very fervent life. And when accused of being a Christian, his torture was this, that he would walk upon coals, do that fire walking in that way. And so was tortured in this. And as he was doing so, remember Saint Lawrence, remember what we talked about 2 days ago, that he cried out from there and he said, "Flip me over." Just yesterday he said, "Turn me over from there." Well, he had a similar bit of wit, similar bit of eutropelia one might have, totally inspired by God, infused into him at this time as an infused virtue. He called out from there and he says, "See what I'm walking upon, these burning coals. They are but to me, they seem to me as they were but flowers upon which I walk." And so he gave his testament to the faith that God had preserved him and kept him through. Saint Susanna, this virgin martyr, just is the same story of all the virgin martyrs. That she herself was desired by men, and so she had pledged herself totally to belong to God as a bride of Christ. And that would not be had, so accused. It didn't matter the fact that she was a relative of the emperor himself. In fact, it is said that there is a crown that was placed at her feet. If she would just pick it up, that she herself would be saved and rule as though she were the empress. And yet she chose death rather than the dishonor of turning herself away from her God. Would accept nothing and no compromise. Not even the crowns of this earth and the greatest that they could be, the greatest empire that would be known to man until much, much later in history, was hers. And yet she spurned it, pushed it aside. We see something beautiful within the lives of the saints and is testified here within our readings and the lessons that we have for this Mass, the gospel that was proclaimed, that the saints despise the things of this world in order to attain those things which cannot be received. Each of these martyrs allow themselves to become an immolation before God. You know, in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, St. Paul reminds us what our task is as Christians. If we're going to be followers of Christ, what you and I have to do, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says this, "Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, for this is your reasonable act of worship." What does that mean? I'm sure we've broken it down on other times and other sermons, but to present our bodies as living sacrifices. It means that to see that the flesh things which God has blessed us with are a tool that we are to lay before God and say, "Whatever it is that you desire of me, do it. Whatever is it that you want of me, I want to do that too. Whatever it is that you've designed this tool that you've given me to do to go through this world, I want to use it better for that purpose. So give me the inspiration to be able to do so." And that's what it means to present one's body as a living sacrifice. It means while we're still living, while we're still walking around in the flesh, while we still have full use of our faculties, and not only when we're lying upon our bed of death, our bed of pain from that final agony, I want to use what you've given me to full of what it possibly can be for you. Even whilst I live my life as a sacrifice. That is the goal of every Christian. And more, day by day, you and I are to make progress within that gift. We talked about it on many occasions, particularly when we were speaking about the martyrs, but that the martyrs die not in a single stroke of the blade. They die not in a single toss of a stone headward toward them. They die not because of the cruel tortures which are exacted upon their flesh in those great moments that we praise in the Roman martyrology or in the lives of the saints that we read for, just like we had before us today in the example of our two saints today, but they die many, many times each and every day. By presenting their bodies as a living sacrifice before God, in recognizing those moments in which they fail to live out that consecration which was made for them at their baptism, it was made continually at moments through their lives, they see, well, that wasn't a sacrifice that I was living to God. That wasn't an instant where I was really giving in to the love of the Lord. That's a moment where I let my tongue fly. I shared a gossip thing that I shouldn't have said to somebody who was there. I gave them more information or more detail or grave to alight somebody or to delight in another's failures or in another's secrets, where I should have rather kept my mouth closed. and share these things with God, that he might be the one to convert that soul, or maybe to offer a particular sacrifice, a fast, for that person's folly or faults, that might be the means of conversion for them, even though I might not ever be the one to see how that grace does that work. That's the way the saints discipline themselves and their own bodies, seeing what their faults are, rebuking them for it, and then going further in the direction to be able to more and more conform themselves to the life of Christ. It's death by 1,000 pinpricks, death by 1,000 sacrifices, death by 1,000 moments where I say no to myself and yes to God, which arrives at these great moments where we can look at these saints and say, wow, how could they endure such great things? You and I are called no less to the same. Let's ask for the intercession of these saints who were able to look upon their sufferings and difficulties as though they were trifles and nothings, because they had already done the more difficult work of disciplining their soul than it was to discipline their physical body, as our first saint to walk upon those coals and say, they seem to me as though I'm walking on flowers because I walk toward my Lord. Or to look upon what Saint Susanna was able to overcome, to allow herself to despise the riches of this world, to recognize the riches of eternity are the only thing which truly last, and cause all else that glitters to seem merely as though it could be gold, where the real gold is found only in heaven. To repeat the words of the gospel from this Sunday's Mass. Store up your treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves cannot break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.